All right. Thank you, Father, for another fine evening. Lord, we just praise you for all of the great brothers and sisters that we have here tonight. Lord, let it be a night of remembrance. Let it be a night, Lord, that we can think about you, what you did tonight with us, Lord. We ask for your guidance tonight. Lord, cleanse us of all of ourselves. Cleanse us of this flesh, Lord. Help us to do that, Father. We all need it. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that in each and every one of us. Lord, we want to draw close to you. And the only way we can do that, Father, is with your help and with your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord. Put it in our heart, Lord, to run after you with all of our heart and to lay every portion of us down to accept the gift that you've given us, and that's perfection in you, Lord. Sanctification in you, holiness. You told us to be ye perfect, even as I am perfect. And Lord, we can't do that without you. We can try, but we'll fail every time. But with your help and the faith that you've given us, Lord, we can do it. And I praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you've put placing in our hearts to absolutely surrender everything to you, Father, and that nothing that we want of the flesh is as valuable as you in us. And Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for all the work that you're going to do. Lord, we thank you for this open heaven that you've given us here in this fellowship. And I praise you, Father, that every prayer is answered. Every prayer is answered. And every healing is healed. Every prayer for healing is completed. Every prayer for deliverance is completed. And Father, we praise you. We glorify you for all that you're going to do tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Be with us, lead us, and guide us, and talk through us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask that the gifts be in operation in a mighty, mighty way, Lord. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Prayer requests. Has anybody got a prayer request? Hi, Andrew. Yes, Missy. I'll get you in a minute, Dominic.
Merle mentioned that at dinner he got a text from his niece. We had prayed before for his brother-in-law, Ranker. I think he's 90. We think he's 92. And he had had a mild stroke, but I think there's just other things that's come along and everything. And I don't think he's in the hospital. I think he's in a nursing home. And his daughter said that he's just getting weaker and weaker. And so I just want you all to agree with me that, Father, we just ask you, Lord, that no matter how much time he has left on this earth, Lord, that he not go until he's ready to go with you, Lord. He's old, and that's how I just feel to pray, Lord. And if that means whatever you got to do to keep him here, healing, sustaining, don't let him go, Lord, until he's ready to go with you. And I just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, go ahead, Dominique.
Okay, so on Tuesday, I kind of stepped out from the blessings and into the curse, and I've been, dealing with that for a while now. Like, I'm definitely a lot of side effects from that coming back, so I just want some prayer for that, and that I just stay in the submission of Christ, you know what I mean? But that's all.
You're kind of distorted there. I missed some of that.
My bad. Back I away. Just said that. You know.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. Sorry about that. 1 second. Okay. So what I said was on Tuesday, I kind of stepped out from under the blessings and into the curse, unfortunately. And I've been kind of paying for it now, and like some old physical issues have came back pretty strong because of it. So I just would like some prayer against that. And but I also stay in submission and buffet my body as well. That's all.
Okay. Well, Father, we thank you for giving Dominique the power, the overcoming power to the flesh in Jesus' name. And I just pray that for everybody here, Lord. I thank you, Lord, but you're going to do a special thing for Dominique. And Lord, just he's got a lot of the word in him, Father. Just bring it to his remembrance when that devil starts messing with him. And we praise you for it and let him use that sword and whack that demon out away from him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Dominique. We thank you, Father, for an overcoming power of the Holy Spirit. Fill him up with all the way as much as he can handle it. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let him walk in victory over the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen. You got it, Dominique. It's done, brother. Now, I like this chat over here. What is all of this? I'm not late. I was making an entrance. That's great. Okay. All right. It is a lovely day. Okay. Anybody else? Anyone else need prayer? Yes, Pat. Hi, Claire.
I'll jump in here.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I would like prayer for Barry again. The Lord gave me some scripture for him today. And I was going to sit down. Actually, I wrote it out, printed it out. And I was planning on talking to him about it. And Thursdays are a busy day, meetings. I have meetings in the morning and meetings in the afternoon, et cetera. And so I wasn't able, but he came in and talked to me for a second. And so I gave him these scriptures. I asked the Lord to give me some scriptures, but he gave me examples. And one was the example of Asa, King Asa, where he had diseased feet at the end of his life. And the scripture, basically the scripture said that he sought the physicians and did not seek the Lord, and it got worse and he died. And I have to be quite frank, I thought that was a little bit harsh. I put it on there anyway. But the other one was the example of the lady, a woman that was with issue of blood for 18 years or something like that. And anyway, so I put those groups of scriptures. Interesting thing about that, the scripture about the issue of blood, it's in three different gospels. So I thought that was interesting, kind of unique that, you know, the Lord would thought so much of that situation that he put it down three times anyway. So anyway, gave it to, I printed it out and I thought, again, I thought that the scripture about, you know, Asa, that didn't seek the Lord and, you know, and died basically. In my mind, I was thinking, well, that seems a little harsh. And the Lord just kind of just nudged me to put it in there and quit thinking for myself. Just do what he says and leave it in his hand. So I did. And I gave it to him. And I throughout the day, I was, you know, going back through the loading dock, you know, dealing with certain things and whatever. And I would stop and I noticed that he wasn't looking at me anymore. So So I don't know what is happening there, but it is good or bad. I think it's doing something. It's rattling something in there. So I'm just trusting the Lord, and I just ask if you could join with me for Barry. Father, I thank you for your words that you've given me, and I trust that those words are going deep down into the heart, into Barry's heart, and they're rattling something there. But Lord, I thank you for the that those words are resonating in his spirit in some form or another, maybe creating disturbance. I am sure that it probably is creating some sort of disturbance, but I'm also thank you, Lord, that disturbance is creating a desire to know you. It's a desire to that. Could this really be true? Could it really happen? Could I really trust Christ to heal me from this situation? So I trust that seed is planted there in Barry, and that it is resonating and it is harmonizing with your word, and you're drawing his heart into turning from what he's been told, what he's always believed, and that he is, you're stirring his heart to be willing to take a chance and put his trust and confidence in your word, and to turn his back on that which is not your word. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open up his eyes and give him ears and eyes to see, ears to hear your word as your truth starts resonating in his heart and bringing forth the light. Lord, open up his eyes and let there be light in Barry, that he might turn, he might honor you, reach out and grab you and touch the hem of your garment and receive his healing that he has, that you provided for him at the cross. And I thank you for that. Just praise you for the work that you're doing in him, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Barry. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Marilyn.
Well, I just want everybody to join their faith with us that the Lord's going to give us some rain. We only got about a quarter of an inch of rain in April, and we haven't had any in May. And we're getting, you know, close to the summer where it's, you know, you can go all summer without rain. And so, Father, I thank you and praise you that you're bringing us rain, even the sound of abundance of rain. And Father, we are praying for rain without high wind or tornadoes or hail. And we're also praying, Father, that when you bring this moisture down, that they're not going to be able to come with their chemtrails and suck all the moisture out and take it somewhere else. Father, it's you see what's going on here in the weather warfare, but we come against it in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, your word says, command ye me, and we're commanding the rain. We're commanding a good low pressure to come in here with some really good soaking, quenching rain for this dry, thirsty land. And Father, not just in the natural, we're praying and believing in the spirit. And Father, you've just really been talking to me so much about look up and be watchful, for your redemption draweth nigh. And every day, Father, we're trusting, we're praying, we're believing. If it doesn't come today, we're just one step, one day closer. So, Father, we thank you and praise you. I pray also, Father, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit on everyone here tonight to just strengthen us in the inner man, to enlighten the eyes of our understanding, to, Father, that convict us. Let us repent and believe where we need to, Father. I know we feel like we are waiting, but Father, a lot of times it's in your great wisdom, your great mercy, your great faithfulness and love, you're waiting for us. So, Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is our helper, our comforter, our teacher, and the power to glorify Christ in us, because I know that's the desire of everybody's heart here. So, Father, I thank you and praise you for what you're doing in the natural and in the spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Michael, you're muted.
That's all right, Lord Hardman. I said, I decree that there be a two-day soaking rain in the area where Barry and Marilyn is in the name of Jesus. And we declare and decree that nothing will hinder that rain from coming in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Thank you, Lord. We glorify you, Father, because you're worthy, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, it's done. Look at taters, corn, all that good stuff. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we just declare and decree that they get a 1-inch rain from now on throughout the summer. In Jesus' name, every week, in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody out there believe that that is going to happen? I believe it's going to happen because we have an open heaven. The Lord's going to see to it. He's already marked it on his calendar in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's go boat riding, Isaac. Amen. Go ahead, Geneva.
Hey, guys. I wanted to... Well, it's kind of, well, it's not really funny, but I wanted prayer, I guess, because at my new job, I find myself losing patience and getting frustrated learning this new computer system. Can you turn it down for a second? Anyways, so I've obviously throughout, you know, my career as a social worker, I've had to learn a lot of different systems, but this one by far is the most complicated. And, I only have a short period to be trained, and then the lady who's training me is leaving, and I'm all on my own. Anyways, I know the Lord's going to take care of me, and obviously, you know, we all prayed and believed, and God blessed me with this job, but I've been having a lot of thoughts come to my mind of like, well, if you don't get this done, you can't complete your day, and, you know, this and this is going to happen, and you're not going to be very good, and people are going to think that, and I don't know, you know, nobody obviously wants to start a new job and not be very good, and I understand there's a learning curve, and I usually grant myself that, but it's just, it's been really difficult to pick up on, and I don't want to get impatient, and I've been doing that, and anyways, so I just want prayer for that, but I also, too, Marissa, she probably, I don't know if she'll be on here for the next 2 weeks or not, but I don't think she said anything about it, but she's going to vet school, and thank you, Jesus. She's going to graduate in 2 weeks, and so right now she's on an ER rotation, and so she called me the other day, and we were praying because she is like, I'm, you know, I'm so nervous. She's like, I've been having to work night shift, and she was like, every time I go in there, I'm just so scared what's going to happen, who's going to bring, you know, their dog or cat and need some big surgery. And so anyways, if we could just pray that, you know, God bless her hands and that Marissa has confidence in the Lord and I know that she does, but to know that it's not by her works. And we talked about that. And it's crazy too, because the Lord gave me a dream that Marissa later on was super confident and was the doctor's right-hand man, and that doctor could have very well been the Lord telling her what to do for these animals. So anyways, if you all just pray and believe with me, that'd be good. Brother Michael, do you mind to pray?
No, I don't mind at all.
Okay.
You're fixing to get the wisdom, but you have to put yourself in the rest of the Lord. Lord, I just thank you, Father, right now that you are infusing Geneva with all the wisdom she needs to pick up this job and this software and to know it backwards and forwards, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you can just instantly drop all the information she needs into her brain. And we thank you, Father, for doing that. We believe that you are doing that right now, even as we speak. And Father, I thank you for helping Geneva to get into the rest that you have already done it. All she has to do is just go in there and be calm and pray. Say, Lord, I thank you for showing me everything that I need to know about this software, because I know that you already know everything there is to know about this software, and you're dropping it into me. And I thank you for it, Father. Watch what happens. It's going to happen in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We thank you, Father, that she's already got that software down pat in Jesus' name. And matter of fact, you're going to be better than the last lady in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
All right.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right. And Marissa, hang on just a second. And Marissa, Lord, we just thank you for calming her down. It's nothing to be anxious about. She has you in her, and nothing that the doctors or vets can do that you can't do better. And Lord, we thank you that when Marissa puts her hands on these cute little old puppies and cute little old kittens and whatever it is, Lord, that she's working on, that they are healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that, for the things that that come before her, Lord. We ask for wisdom in that too, Lord, and a steady hand for whatever it is that she has to do. But most of all, Lord, to trust you implicitly when it comes to these cute little animals, these people's best friends in some cases. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Put a rest in her heart, Lord. Put peace in her heart about it, because you're in charge, not her, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you want to pray, I bet you.
Well, I want to share something, if the Lord wants me to pray too, but I believe he wants me to share what happened to me years ago. When I started living for the Lord, I was working as a nurse in a hospital. And it was good that I had just started living for him before I did do that nursing, because you can easily get anxious in a hospital work when you're a nurse, because you got so many patients to take care of. You know, you could have paper, you know, a list of all the people and all the things you got to do, but it never goes the way that you want with the list. You can't do that because you're dealing with people. So there was a lot of anxiety that I was dealing with, and I could feel it in my chest. I could feel that anxiety rising up in me. And the Lord was saying to me, you know, he showed me in the Word where it says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Well, that fear hinders us. Frustration and anxiety and just all those, you know, expressions of relating to fear, it brings us to the place where we have no power, no love, and no sound mind. Because I know, even in myself, if I get anxious, then I can't think as well. I get mixed up in about things, and it doesn't go smoothly. And all I'm thinking about when I'm anxious is I'm thinking about myself. So how can I have love towards anybody else? I'm thinking about me. and you know, the power is not there. Christ's power is not there when we're not in the spirit. We're actually in the flesh when we're in fear. I mean, you know, there's not much we can do. But the Lord showed me that, you know, because I prayed to him, I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. I don't want to do anything bad, you know, or wrong. You know, if I got to deal with people, I got to make sure that they're taken care of properly. And, you know, I could have 8 people for the whole day. But anyway, what the Lord was showing me to help me, and that's up to you guys, what you feel like the Lord, if you ask him, Lord, what can I do to help me keep my anxiety level down? What he told me was to sing. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to sing in front of people. And he said, well, then just hum. So that's what I did. I just would hum a song, you know, Christian song or something. And I felt like that anxiety was going away, and it was keeping me in spirit was what it was doing. And it was keeping me in the rest, you know, like Michael was saying, and it really made things a lot easier, even to the place where when I was humming and singing, I was just humming a song. And this one patient, she says, "That sounds familiar. What song is that?" She was asking about it. I was able to witness to her a little bit. And the next patient in that same room, they were both my patients. And I was able to get the other lady said, "Oh, that sounds pretty. What is that song?" You know, and she was a nominal church person, I found out, but she received the Lord. I was able to just talk to her about the Lord and everything after that, you know. So, you know, however the Lord wants you to keep that level of rest, you know, it might be praying in tongues and under your breath, might be singing a song, but once you get to that place, you'll know things will run much smoother. So Lord, I thank you, Father, that that you will show Geneva and you will show Marissa what you want them to do. Lord, if you want them to sing or hum or pray in the spirit so that they can throughout the day that when they start getting rattled or bothered or frustrated, that they would just start seeking you and getting back in the spirit. Lord, keep them in your rest in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for that. That honestly too, that and Michael's prayer too, obviously, that just gave me so much peace. I honestly feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulder. I really do appreciate
it. It's not us. We can't do it.
Thank you, Jesus. Yep. That's the Lord.
Okay. There's three of them up there. Okay, go ahead, Claire. You were up there first, I said.
I just want to pray real quick for Geneva as well.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Lord, we know that you are sovereign and you are good at all things. And we know that the lion is prowling around seeking whom he may devour. And Father, I just come against this attack, this technological attack on Geneva's mind. And I command she has at least one technical angel that would be able to minister to her to impart this knowledge and wisdom that you have already given to us freely, and that this angel would stand with her and he would be swinging the sword at every moment that the technology wants to frustrate our sister in Christ. So I just come against that from that point, from the spiritual warfare and attacking that spirit of technology and aversion to technology in Jesus' name. And I command that the angels will do the job, and I can attest that they do. I've commanded the angels to come and help me before, and they have when it comes to things on the computer, which is nothing short of miraculous. And then I would also like to share, if I might, just a praise report about Jono. We prayed for Jono a few weeks back, and he is doing much better. He's had 29 days in trauma ICU, but he is apparently still got a bit of sense of humor, because he was a very funny guy, is a funny guy. And I think if we can all stand in agreement that, or I will pray this prayer, and then if you can stand in agreement with me, because I don't even want to start with a negative report. But my prayer is that Jono's body would be supernaturally strengthened, so that the recovery is also supernatural and a witness to the medical teams who are working on his physical body. We know who is Lord of all and who has been working on his spirit and soul since he came to Christ. I cast the pain and the trauma and the lying symptoms of the enemy down in the name of Jesus. I speak all the blessings of Abraham onto Jono, onto his mind and brain and body. He is chosen, he is redeemed, and he has been set free from the power of the curse. I pray specifically for a memory that not only remembers the past, but that Jono will remember the spiritual fight that he's fighting in Christ. I pray for continued discernment for Michelle, his wife, and for the peace to abound in their midst, and for them not to be shaken by anything except what the Lord's word says. Amen.
Amen. I hook my faith up with Claire, and I believe it is done and is so. in the name of Jesus. John O, you come up out of that bed of affliction now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your supernatural strength and energy in John O right now in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo, my. That's a good prayer, Claire. I believe it too. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. And Michelle, too. Jesus' name. All right, Isaac.
If Julie was going to pray for Geneva, then she might. I don't know, because I was going to switch gears to have my own prayer. So just wondering.
Thank you, Isaac. I'll be brief so you can get right back up there. I'd like to pray too. Some things that were coming to me, all what Claire and Michael and Sue prayed, I'm totally in agreement. And just I thank you, Lord, that you see everything, and the tactics of the enemy coming against our sisters, Lord, and in the workplace where they're at. And it's just to cause, you know, confusion of the mind and fear and worry and anxiety. These are all tactics of our enemy. And you just come against all of these lies of the enemy that are trying to put confusion in the mind and fear of man, fear of making a mistake, fear of not being able to perform, fear of what man thinks, and all of the lies. We cast it all down. We break your power off of Marissa and off of Geneva in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you give them both clarity of mind and in agreement with Sue, Lord, that they pray in the spirit, they sing in the spirit, they do whatever they find total peace in, Lord, and you will show them what it is that they need to do. And it doesn't matter that anyone hears them, Lord, and they can pray quietly in the spirit, they can sing, whatever it is. I did it at my desk for many years, sit there and pray quietly in the spirit. And you always covered me and protected me with that, and it gave me a lot of peace. And your word says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I came in back from being gone for about 2 weeks one time, and they had changed some software, and I had to learn it really quickly. So I get it, Geneva. And if God did that for me, I know he'll do it for you. And he owns and he created that software. So he's going to give you the wisdom. He's going to give you the knowledge and the understanding. And it's not going to be hard. And we cast down every negative thought that the enemy would try to get you in frustration or impatience about it, and that you have the mind of Christ, and it's all going to come to you clearly, just as Michael had prayed for you and everyone else. And we all stand in agreement for our sisters that they're going to have really good success here in the next days and weeks as they adjust and go through their testings and their trials, and they will overcome. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. I believe it. Go ahead, Isaac.
Okay. Hey, everyone. So, you know, it's Geneva talked to me about that before. And, you know, I thought, you know, I probably ought to go ahead and give a testimony, because I don't think I've even boasted on the Lord in this regard. So before I took this job where I'm at now, see, I was always an electrician. And I kind of dabbled around in automation. And well, when COVID happened, I was working at a theme park, and I was like the head controls guy. Anyways, they reduced our hours drastically, and I just really didn't see it coming back. And I think they think they're coming back, but I don't think they are. Anyways, I got a job from a headhunter, or I got a call from a headhunter about this job for a controls engineer job. And I was like, well, you know, I'll give it a shot. And, you know, Lord gave me confirmations. That's a long story. I won't go into that. But so I took it. But, man, I was worried. And there was one point, I think, you know, because in 2020, I was really starting. The Lord was giving me a lot of grace. I think that's the best way to put it, to follow him. And I think I tried to convince my boss. I said, hey, even though he hired me, I was like, hey, not the guy for the job. You're going to want to fire me. look, this is more complex. And he was actually real adamant as far as, no, we're going to keep you. And I was like, okay, buddy. Anyways, so, you know, Lord blessed me to really also give me grace to really get in his word. And I read something about Daniel and how Daniel, I think it was King Nebuchadnezzar, where Daniel, where all the wise men and the people, the young men that are around the king, were eaten of the king's dainties, is which my translation says, to improve their countenance. Anyways, well, Daniel and the other three gentlemen, they wanted to drink pulp, and it would make their countenance low, and they wouldn't look good in front of the king. But man, you know, God improved their countenance because they rested from eating of the king's dainties. I guess that's considered resting their works. I didn't even think about it until Michael said something a minute ago, and just kind of dawned on me. But do you know what? Their countenance was improved. And here's the point here's the thing that the Lord showed me when I was reading next. Man, I was really stressed out. I was like, gosh, this is a big move. I'm so income. You know, I can't be losing my job here. And you know, the Lord gave them all knowledge and understanding. That's what it says. He gave them all knowledge and understanding. You know, just like the apostles, he opened their mind to the scriptures. And, you know, and I kid you not, I realized the more, because before I would always try to get into all this technological stuff and try to figure it out. And it's like it sometimes wouldn't click for me. But once I kind of gave up on it, started reading the word, man, it just started happening where I don't really have to pay too much attention. And the Lord shows me and just gives me understanding, you know. And, you know, we're, like I say, we deal with a lot of automate a lot of equipment. And, you know, I'm not a computer guy. I'm not, but that's pretty much the only thing I do. And I tell you, you know, read your word, man. And I tell you, he'll give you all knowledge. He will give you all knowledge. It happened for me, so I just want to share that. But what I was going to ask was this. For prayer, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Jordan Peterson. Has anybody ever heard of Jordan Peterson out there? Okay. And you're probably like, oh, okay, Isaac, you watching him? No, I used to watch him heavily back in like 2018 and 19. And I quit altogether because I just felt like I should. Anyways, but on my heart, man, he's always been on my heart. And I want to tell you a dream he had, and I'm going to make this real quick, so bear with me. But he debates atheists, and he debates a lot of liberals, and I'm telling you guys, he's been given a gift of the good Lord. Like he's got revelation, God-given revelation. He really does. And I'll tell you this much: he had a dream, and he's in this debate with all these atheists. And he told him, he said, I'm just going to tell you what I've seen. And his arguments were amazing, and I could never sum it up like he does. But he said, I had a dream that he goes on to say, in front of all these atheists and all these college kids who probably think he's a nut for being a conservative and one believing that there's God. But he said, in my dream, I was in a graveyard. And in this graveyard, it was nighttime. He said, all the tombstones were kings of the earth that have been kings of the earth. He said, they started reaching their hands out of the ground. They all came out, all the kings that ever have been. And once they seen each other, they wanted to fight and they wanted to destroy each other and conquer each other's kingdom. He said it was inherent. They were getting ready to fight and conquer each other. He said, but then came Jesus. And when they seen Jesus, they all bowed down and worshiped him as king. And that's a God-given dream, man. That's amazing. Anyways, the reason why I'm asking for prayer here, I don't know, man. I really felt it in my heart. I sent him I looked for his email address, and man, I asked the Lord just to show it to me, and I believe he did. Anyways, I sent a copy of Sovereign God. You know, hey, you know, why not? That's a good book, man. That when I read that book, man, thank God he'd given me the gift of, you know, of repentance. But man, I want to pray that book reach him. It doesn't matter to me where he goes with it, as long as that truth reaches him, you know. And, you know, pray that would reach him. I just really felt led, been feeling led. And I was like, I need to really get this done and quit postponing everything. So I sent a copy to him. That's all.
Well, praise God, Lord. We just ask that you anoint that book. Bye, Dave. Bless you, brother. you anoint that book, that when Jordan opens that book, it'll be like a neon sign to him, Lord. It'll just be revelation after revelation after revelation, and he will understand the word much better after he completes that book, Lord. And I thank you for doing that for Jordan. He is a very good communicator, and Lord, we thank you that he can communicate the word of God probably as good as anyone after he gets the knowledge. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Does everybody believe that? Come on, Jordan. Come on in, brother. Lord of God. Amen. All right, David.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, buddy.
Michael, I don't know if you remember, like 2 weeks ago, you prayed and said, God give David the wisdom to fix a lawnmower. Funny story. Like, the day before I bought a lawnmower, I got it for pretty cheap. I got a really cheap deal, and there was something wrong with it. And it wouldn't run. And then after you prayed that, I was thinking, man, what can be wrong with this thing? And it was a $30 fix. God opened it, we fixed it, and the lawnmower's running, cutting the grass. So praise God for that.
Thank you, Father. Amen. That's good. Lord, thank you for making a lawnmower expert out of David. Isaac, I wanted to tell you something. That's what I was for 25 years, a controlled electrician. Into PLCs, yeah.
You're kidding me, no doubt. Man, we could have some conversations, but anymore, I hate to say this, I'm getting less interested in them.
absolutely. The Word of God does that to you, you know?
No, I did not know that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's what I do, PLCs.
I had an electronics degree. I wanted to go into electronics and working on radios and that kind of TV, whatever, you know. But in Arkansas, they don't make a lot of money. So I said, we got to do something else here.
Yeah.
So, but that's what I did. I was a relay logic to a PLC program.
Yeah, that's right. You know, sorry, I won't say much, but, you know, a lot of relay logics, they say, is going out. But, you know, you'd be surprised how many of these new kids come out and they don't even want to know, you know, solid state stuff, PLCs. But I tell you, when you know relay logic, man, you can come in there and troubleshoot. And I tell you, companies want that. Even though schools ain't teaching it, companies want it.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. That's cool, man.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. All right. Anybody else? Just a little side note there. We'll get together after a while, maybe. Next time you're up here, we'll get together. That's what we'll do. All right.
I'm ever learning. I need to learn more.
Well, you're in a good field to learn. All right. Anybody else got a... Yes, Missy.
Well, I got a testimony and also another prayer request or warfare request. Anyway, I'll start off telling them my story about tires. I went to Sam's the other day to get some tires, or at least make an appointment. And I was looking to see what tires I wanted because they have them on sale right now. And so I didn't know which ones to get. So I called up my son, Kurt, and we're talking about them, and I said, well, what about Michelin's? And he said, well, the only ones I can tell you that I know are good Michelin ones that we carry are the Defender ones or whatever. And I happened to be standing there and looked right up, and they had four of them there. Exactly what I needed. And so I told the guy that's what I wanted. And he says, we don't have them. And I said, well, I saw them back there. And he says, well, come back and show me. He says, I believe you. He says, and he said, oh, well, the guy that was supposed to get them, he must have not come and got them. So they put them back on the shelf. They were the only four left. And it's like that happens so many times. When he said, yep, okay. I said, God's good, you know. And he, you know, he didn't seem to like flinch. I was kind of like wondering what he was, you know, what his response was going to be on that. But anyway, and then so then later, so I got an appointment for next Wednesday, and I have to leave Thursday to go to my son Kurt's to help him with Blake. Well, Brooke's gone, and so I'm getting the tires on Wednesday, and I'm like, okay, now I need an alignment. So I called Kurt and I asked him, I said, what does it cost to get an alignment at where you work? And he said, well, for you, it'd be free. And I'm like, yes. I'm like, thank you, Lord. And so my spare tire is worn really bad. Not that I plan on using it, but it's worn really bad on the one side. And so so I said to him, I said, I'm going to ask him to give me the best of the four. And if you could change that for me and get, you know, put one of the old tires on. So anyway, so I was like, yes, thank you, Lord. You're so awesome. So anyway, so then, and then, okay. And I have a little story, and then want y'all to agree with me on something here then. I cut my hair today, and I was running later than I thought, because, you know, I cut it and then I got a shower and was drying my hair. And, you know, us girls, you know, we sometimes, especially when you first get your hair cut, it, you know, it's like, you know, not laying right. And I was taking longer and I was running, you know, running a little late to make dinner or whatever. And so towards the end of me finishing up, all of a sudden my dryer stopped blowing hot, you know, and I'm like, and right away this thought came to me, the Lord did that because I was taking too long, I was fussing too much with my hair. So I came down and made dinner, and I'm like asking the Lord about this, and I'm feeling condemned, and I'm like saying, you know, telling the Lord I'm sorry and everything. And I'm like, okay, Lord. I got out five quarters and I said, okay, Lord, I said, is this because I was taking too long and, you know, being vain, you know, that's easy for me, but I've overcome. Thank you, Lord. being a former hairstylist, but anyway, and I said, Lord, unless you give me all heads that this happened because, you know, this was like a discipline kind of thing or whatever, unless you give me all heads, yes, that was from you, I'm not going to accept that it was from you. So then I got a mix. I'm like, okay. And so I'm like thinking, and I'm still thinking about this, and was like commanded my dryer to work and stuff, and it wasn't working yet. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to ask the Lord one more question. I said, Lord, is this just an attack of the enemy, a pure attack of the enemy? Threw five quarters, all heads. So I just want you all to, I just come against witchcraft and condemnation, a spirit of condemnation, trying to put condemnation on me in the name of Jesus. And I forbid my blow dryer to be broken anymore. And I command it to be fixed and that it work properly and that it shoot out heat in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for the authority. And I thank you that it's done in Jesus' name. So something little, but it's just, it's funny how the enemy will just kind of try and come in every tiny little way to make you feel condemned and all. And that's something I keep getting tested with condemnations, if I'm going to receive it and all, you know. And sometimes you just really have to check, you know, make sure it's, you know, not the Lord, you know, disciplining you or whatever. So
amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The hair dryer is working like it's supposed to in all speeds.
Amen.
From super fast to super slow. In Jesus' name, what it's got on it. In Jesus'
name.
And
hot like it's
been hot. Been hot. Don't burn her scalp, though.
No.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
I would like you all to pray for me in agreement for whatever the Lord shows you. At least a couple times today, I had like a feeling of being dizzy, and I wasn't really doing much of anything to cause it. So I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's witchcraft. I don't know where it's coming from or what, but I cast it down and just, you know, the enemy's just been trying to put physical stuff on me for so long. I'm always checking myself to see what, like Missy, you know, am I being chasing for something or this or that? And I've been struggling with condemnation too, from the enemy. But sister, we're all overcomers of that lie. In Jesus' name, I'm declaring it and decreeing it that we are overcomers of all lying spirits of condemnation, because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So if you pray
y'all raise your hands to Julie right now, because God's fixing to heal her. We're tired of this mess. In the name of Jesus right now, we command healing in her body from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. We declare her as healed, delivered, and set free by the blood of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that the symptoms of dizziness and whatever else might be trying to come upon her, go in the name of Jesus. Father, we just praise you and glorify you that Julie is healed. Praise you, Father, in every aspect of her body right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. We believe it. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. The hands of the saints, they're all Jesus' hands. They're all
amen.
Sending blessings at me, and I receive them. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. No more. Nothing. She is healed, delivered, and set free. Amen. Glory to God, and everybody else that wants it too. Just raise your hands if you want it.
Amen. In the name of Jesus, David or Lena,
we declare healing in everybody here in Jesus' name. Father, you are no respecter of persons, and we thank you, Father, that everybody here is healed and delivered of any kind of affliction that may be trying to come on them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Ooh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Lord of God. All right. I have a testimony. This is testimony time. Glory to God, I have a testimony. Woo! Man, you know, the other week when I got attacked by that pack of wolves out there on that Harley. Well, it was just a little bitty motorcycle, 6 horsepower, that a dog pulled me off of. But anyway, it really hurt my ankle really bad, and it swole up about twice what size it ought to be. And I struggled with it, you know, and just like Missy was saying, condemnation comes on you when something like that happened. And I had a hard time with it. And after the first week, and nothing seemed to be changing. And so me and David got together, and I said, you need to pray for me. And he did, I did, we did, and God did. And it's that all the swelling, most of the swelling, 90% of the swelling has gone down. All of the bruises, it was bruises, well, all over the top of my foot. There's just a little bitty speck on it now. And yesterday is when it broke. Yesterday it broke, and I was able to get out and around. And then today, I was up all day, man. I'm telling you, I was up all day doing whatever I needed to do. And I just praise God for his miracle working power through each and every one of our bodies in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I'll be able to run a 5K here before too much longer. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
I just wanted to say, I know how that feels when something hurts so bad and then it finally breaks and you get better quickly. It's just like, ah, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, that's the way it was with me yesterday. I told David, comes up every morning, check on me. And he said, well, how's it doing? I said, man, it feels a whole lot better. And the swelling's gone way down. And then this morning it went almost gone. You know, it was almost gone. Yeah, boy, we just praise God for it. Praise the Lord.
That's kind of like what happened with me with my knee. You know, just a test of, it was just a test of condemnation. It was just like one day all of a sudden it broke and it felt so much better, you know. So. Yeah. I mean, the enemy was trying to put condemnation on me with that blue drug, but he wasn't doing a very good job. I was just like, you know, it was in the back of my mind and I was going to get to the bottom of it before I was, you know, I wasn't going to let him get me down. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. That condemnation steals faith. It'll do it every time. And I knew that, but you know how you do. Sit down there and just dwell on it. Oh, Lord, why'd you do this to me? You know. But then you come back to reality and you just plug in. Sneaky spirits, yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah, pal.
So what I've experienced, or I say what I struggle over is the thing of whether or not you fight through it yourself, or, you know, or you go to someone else and you ask for prayer to join with you or pray for you, like exactly what you did with David. Because one way or the other, sometimes what you need is to humble yourself and ask for prayer, and sometimes you need to fight through it, I guess. So that's kind of what I struggle over through the process.
Well, I'll tell you what my philosophy is on healing. If I'm in pain, somebody's going to lay some hands on me. I'm telling you, that's just the way it is. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Somebody with some faith is going to lay some hands on me and help me out. Because when two come together, you can send 10,000 to flight. And that's what I always believe. You know, if you got somebody you can rely on, if your wife or whoever it is, you can rely on it, get them to help you. If you feel like it. If you feel like you can do it by yourself, you can do it by yourself. Many times I've done it by myself. I got David right downstairs. There ain't no need in me just sitting here struggling. I just call on the big guns, you know. Yeah. I got bazookas and cruise missiles and everything else going out. Go ahead, Judy.
I think we can all maybe share testimonies about this subject because it's one of the enemy's tactics to steal your faith. And I've been going through some long trials about things, and the enemy's always been trying to accuse me to myself, different things, you know, and just the doubt and the uncertainty about what have I done? Am I in sin? And all I can tell you, Pat, you know, and anyone else, it's like, first, just go to the Lord and ask him to show you if you're in sin in anything. And even what I go to the Word and I go to the Bible studies and ask the Lord to lead me. What do I need to listen to? Speak to me, because this enemy's beating me up and I'm tired of getting beat up. I'm tired of feeling this way. And when you feel condemnation, one of this, I just recently listened to a teaching on hindrances to faith, and I'm still listening to it. The Lord gave me some light and showed me where, you know, it's like when you even feel condemnation, you've lost your faith. You got to go to God and get your faith back. You need to confess whatever it is. You need to confess to the Lord and ask him to fill you up again, whatever you need. Go to somebody, pray with somebody. There's a lot of hindrances to why we don't receive things. And, you know, condemnation is a big one. And it doesn't matter how old we are in the Lord, doesn't matter. He's always attacking the knowledge that you have and perverting it some way and making you think you've done something or you haven't done something. It doesn't matter. He just does what he does. So, and then, you know, so if your heart doesn't condemn you, you know, cause I was like, I wasn't condemning my heart. I couldn't think of anything, you know, that I was willfully doing anything wrong, you know? And it's like, you know, but it's just that I couldn't get this thing off of me. You know, so it, you know, it took some time, but Lord helped me get through some stuff and, you know, and just discerning my thoughts and immediately binding up the attack of the enemy when I get up in the morning and put my armor on and fight, you know, it's warfare, you know, and anytime he'd come in with a symptom, anytime he'd come in with the accusations, you know, I'd have to get out my sword and, you know, and remind him he's defeated and he has no armor and he has no power here and he's not getting any. He's not getting in my house, and to cast him out and cast him down and trample on his head or whatever, you just rub his nose in it, as David has said, you know, just rub his nose in it. He's nothing. So it's just a matter of making sure in your heart and your conscience is right before God, and then and stand, having done all, stand. And it doesn't matter what it feels like, but Lord will show you. If you ask him, because I was asking him, like, what have I done? Where am I at? Why am I going around and around? You know, it's just evil. It's just an evil battle we're in, but we win. We are winners. Amen. We are winners.
Amen. You said something there that's that I know to be exactly true, and that is everybody, no matter how mature they are in Christ, goes through the same thing when they get hurt. When there's pain involved, everybody, I'm not leaving anybody out, goes through that condemnation. And then you just pray and believe God. Or like we said a while ago, find somebody that has the same faith that you do and get with them. And it'll go. It'll go. Okay, Isaac. Or whoever was ahead. I don't know who was ahead. So just go. Go ahead, Greg.
Just in case Isaac's going to change the subject slightly. I just wanted to call out in the scripture, well, two things, but to call out the scripture that, you know, for those who are feeling condemnation, as you know, and this is everyone knows, as the word says, there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. And on the same vein, I suppose, and Michael was saying this, but I had this bit of an epiphany a day or so ago when I was out walking my neighbourhood, because I have a real independent streak, but when things hit me, or when things hit any of us, you know, we have a, it's, I need the faith of my fellow believers, and vice versa, because when I'm in stuff, it's, you know, there's an emotional involvement and it's harder for me to have faith on a situation. But if I can use an illustration, I hope this makes sense. When David and Alina were looking forward to the birth of Abigail, particularly Alina, she was anxious about the whole box and dice. And I know when we were praying for it, I was like, this is going to go so smooth. Now it's easy for me to have faith because I didn't have to go through the travail, but, And that may sound funny, but I knew it was going to go smooth. And by the same token, and this is kind of a confession, I guess, I need your guys' faith for the stuff I'm going through, because fear can get me, or concern about the situation. you know, and vice versa. So, you know, look, you were the guys I pray with, and vice versa. So I hope that came across what I had in mind, but, you know, it's exactly what Michael was saying, you know, calling the big guns.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now go ahead, Isaac. Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, the, you know, it's, you know, I mentioned that something last week I was dealing with this, and man, just been dealing for the last few weeks. And, you know, it really started, and I briefly, maybe 2 weeks ago, told you about a brother that come against me. Well, the reason this gentleman come against me was because I got real sick. And, well, this person was telling me that I had COVID and I needed to admit it. And I just told him, I said, listen, you know, and like this is not an immature person. And like I told him, I said, listen, I didn't have it then. I didn't claim it then. Well, I ain't going to claim it now. I didn't have it and I don't have it. And so they didn't like that. They didn't like that at all. It didn't matter what they liked though. Anyways, so, but, you know, and man, even though, like, that was the Lord talking. After the heat of the conversation, I was going on, and man, it took me for a ride. Took me for a ride, because some of the things that were said were just not okay. And I tell you, thank God he gave me some dreams and all that, you know, and was showing me about this condemnation. Like, you know, my dream of Mariana, me getting caught up into these webs, like say, I'll repeat the dream again. We're just walking in the desert. She's holding her, we're holding our children's hands. And she goes, Isaac, I just had a vision. And I said, well, what was that? And she goes, you walked into a web. She goes, the spirit of witchcraft is trying to get onto you, and it tangled you up like a web. And man, and it was right after all that happened, and it was such a big deal. But, you know, if this, from my old trial, the 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it was, going through that, you know, and fighting, and I really wasn't doing spiritual warfare the way I should have, until the Lord gave me that dream about me casting all down in that hotel room and closing the door and breaking off a lock and throwing it down. You know, it's good to do spiritual warfare, I guess I'm trying to say, but at the same time, you know, I guess, you know, it's almost what I was just thinking is this. When it's conviction, you know what it is and what it's directed at. You know what a convicted heart feels like. I've felt convicted. You know, I know when I've done sin, or even when I didn't mean to, and it maybe wasn't like I was really trying to sin, but I did wrong in either my speech or the way I handled a situation. I don't even know. You know when you feel convicted. But condemnation, man, it's like a guessing game. You'll never really know, be able to point your finger on it, but it will just draw you along and draw you farther and farther away. And you'll be on this egg hunt, you know, this Easter egg hunt. And you know, it's kind of what it was showing me. But it's just, you know, you don't got willful disobedience in your life. And I say that not as that guy, because like I said, I had a kind of rough week, and you know, I did sin, and you know, and condemnation tried to get off on me again, but I just had to cast it down. But and one last thing about this condemnation thing. Last night I was praying, man, I was praying on my knees on my bed, and I felt something come in the room. I'm not kidding you. I did. I felt it come in the room, man. And I just, you know, I kept my eyes on the Lord, staying kneeling down, praying, because my, you know, my mind was going to be on him. And man, I just felt it, man. I felt the presence, you know, even Job, I seen this not too long ago, even Job in the Bible talked about the hairs on the back of his neck standing up from a evil spirit or a spirit or whatever. And you know, and the thing is, I never wanted to really think too much about that, because I didn't want to be one of those too sensual Christians, if you will. But I felt it last night. Anyways, man, I got up And I just started doing what that dream did. I started casting it down and really praying, you know, because I kind of had a hard night and made it hard myself. And anyways, I was like, nope, gotta do this. And I prayed in tongues, just like that dream. But I never had that language of tongues before. It was a different one. It really was. It was a different one. It was words and utterances that I don't typically utter out because I know what it sounds like when I pray in tongues. I don't know, man, but I don't know. I just know this. The Lord's going to see us through because it's part of his perfect plan. He's going to perfect it to the day of Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's good, Isaac. Yeah, we have different tongues at different occasions. Did you want something, Missy? Okay. All right. Yeah. My tongues, I can't tell you how many times it's changed. All right. Anyone else? I woke up one night, Isaac, and I had two demons, twins, looking at me, looking down at me. Muscle bound. They were blue, had blue blood in them. They were transparent and they had, I could see the blue blood flowing through their veins. It's weird. It's weird. The Lord gave me a peace about it. I just looked over. I said, what are y'all doing in here? Get gone in the name of Jesus. And they just took off. It was gone. So yeah, I know what you're talking about. You just tell them to go. They ain't got no business in there. Amen. Go ahead, Dominique.
So I just have a quick question. Like, how do you know that you've gone too far or not, like when you become reprobated? Because Hebrews 6:4-6 is pretty clear. I know there's more to it though, like just fully turning your back on God is how I see when you become reprobated. But you know, sometimes I get a little nervous because, you know, obviously I've been struggling, you guys know that. And it can be a little scary sometimes, and I just wanted to see what you guys had to say on it. Unfortunately, I have a customer, so I can't answer, but I just want to see what you guys say about it. Thanks.
Okay. All right. We can talk about that. Well, as long as you're worried about it, don't worry about it. Because you're worried about it, you're still okay. Because you want to do right. It's the sin nature in you that's guiding you right now. But you just keep praying, keep working at it. And the Holy Spirit will bring you through it, brother. Go ahead, Missy.
Basically, if you're reprobated, you don't know it.
Mostly, yeah. That's exactly right. You think you're right, and you're not. When you're worried about it, that's the fear of God, and that's a good thing. All right. Anyone else? Well, we got a little bit of time left. What y'all want to talk about? Let me read something to you. Oh, go ahead, Pat. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead and read it, or if you want, I'll chime in afterwards.
Okay. This is something I read today. And I've read it over and over again. This is talking about perfection. Yield yourself to this searching question. Listen to the question. Can God save me, as of Noah, Job, of David, and Asa, that my heart is perfect with the Lord my God? Yield yourself to the searching question, can God save me, as he did of Noah and Job and David and Asa, that my heart is perfect with the Lord my God? Have I given myself up to say that there must be nothing, nothing whatever to share my heart with God and his will? Is a heart perfect with the Lord my God the object of my desire, my prayer, my faith, my hope? Whether it has been so or not, let it be so today. Make the promise of God's word your own. The God of peace himself perfects you, is what it says. The God who is of power to do above all we ask or think will open up to you the blessed prospect of life, of which he shall say, his heart was perfect with the Lord his God. Is your heart perfect with the Lord your God? And that's not to put condemnation on you. That's to make you get in the Word and find these things out, you know. I'll tell you where it's from. I forget the name of the book. I'm sorry. It's by Andy. It's something Andy Murray came up with. And it talks about perfection. Isn't that a good question to ask yourself? If our service of God is to be acceptable, it must not be with a divided, but a whole, a perfect heart. I got one more thing I think I want to share with you. Or maybe not. In God's record of the lives of his servants, there are some of whom it is written, his heart was perfect with the Lord his God. Is this what God sees and says of me? Does my life in the sight of God bear the mark of intense, wholehearted consecration to God's will and service, of a burning desire to be as perfect as it is possible for grace to make me? And one last final thing I'm going to quote here. He says, there can be no hope of comprehending what perfection is except as we count all things lost to be apprehended of it, to live for it, to accept of it, to possess it. In other words, surrendering all to the Lord. That's what he's talking about, surrendering all to the Lord. And we do that by God's grace. We do that by the power of God in us. We have to want to do it. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. That's good stuff. It's good stuff. Makes you think, you know. Go ahead, Pat.
That perfection is, I think, what the Lord, I think he's kind of showing me the aspects of that and kind of how, well, never mind. I'm not even going to get on that. I wanted to share a little bit about what he showed me. He's still got me on light and frequency. And one thing, the last meeting we were talking about, frequency, the frequency of his word. And one thing that came to my mind today, as I was yesterday, actually, as I was thinking about it, and I think I gave the example about using, say, a guitar, hitting an E string, and that E string vibrates at 82 cycles per second. And the thing, this interesting thing about a law, I guess it's a law of motion or whatever, and that is resonancy or resonancy, maybe is the word. If I were to take and put another E string on my guitar so that I had two E strings and tighten them up so that they're both at the same pitch, I could pluck one of those strings and the other string would slowly start to resonate at the same frequency. Having not strummed it or plucked it or anything, but what it is that string is tuned to the same frequency. And so when the other string is plucked, it creates that vibration in the air, and that other string has very little, it has a very little resistance about vibrating at that same frequency. It poses no resistance or very little resistance against the air pressure that's being created by that other string. So therefore, it starts to resonate at the same frequency without being plucked, shall we say. That's resonance, frequent resonance, or whatever. Electronics, has a lot of circuits that work that way. They don't, I read this, I never saw examples of it or anything, but I believe they have signs on the suspension bridges that will not allow dogs, people walking dogs or whatever on suspension bridges, because it was discovered that small puppies or small dogs trotting across those bridges they trot in the same resonant frequency that suspension bridge is built by, and they can literally, that little dog padding across that bridge can actually set up a resonance vibration in that bridge, and it can literally build and build and build and destroy that bridge. And I have actually seen pictures of that. But anyway, the point I'm making is the scripture that the Lord gave me was the scripture in John 1:9. And it's talking about John the Baptist. Matter of fact, let me read it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now that was the scripture. That was the true light which lighteth every man that comes into the world. And I believe that God created every one of us that comes into the world with that light within us, which is, shall we say, let me give you another example. The tuning fork that they used to use for tuning pianos worked the same way, that you could hit that tuning fork and it would vibrate at a certain tendency, and then you could tune up your piano up to it, and you can hear it start to resonate at the same frequency. And I think it works kind of the same way. But I think God has placed a tuning fork that is specific to his word within us, as we've been created into the world. And I think that there's a wide gamut of frequency I'm just going to say frequency. It sounds, I kind of almost hate talking about this because it makes me sound new agey, and I'm not that type of thing. But this wide gamut of frequency may be that, and that's what his word is a very wide gamut. It covers a wide spectrum. And so some word, when somebody preaches the word to you, gives you the word of Christ, it's coming into your spirit and it's vibrating. And if there is no resistance to that within you, within your spirit, your spirit will vibrate, will resonate. That will resonate with you. Aha! Oh, I understand that. Boom. It sinks. It resonates within you. And I'm sure that I'm not explaining anything new. Everybody's experienced it. But it resonates and you're drawn to it and you're attracted. You see it. However, I think there's many areas in people's lives, in my life, and everybody here probably, where the finger of sin or sin nature has deadened certain areas in our spirit from being able to freely vibrate. There's resistance there that we are, or I would say in the soul, that there's resistance there and it doesn't vibrate. But it doesn't hinder God's word from working in other areas. And that works, I think, like if I were to, again, go back to that guitar with the two E strings, if I were to pluck that first string, and then I would put my thumb down on the other string, it would not resonate because it feels massive resistance there to that resonation. So, this is what I got, I think, from the Lord today. And that's when this scripture, these things came out that I gave Barry today, because some of that word that I wrote down sounded a little bit harsh, especially the one of the ASA, basically turn or burn, you know, that type of a thought. But I realized from this that it's a resonance. It goes out there. It's not my job to determine what's right or wrong specifically in God's word. He's called us to preach and give out that word. And we don't know where it resonates and where it doesn't. It may not resonate in one part of a person's life, but it may resonate in something else. It may not resonate now. It may just come back later in a memory when that person would think, oh, what does that mean? Or whatever. Now, I kind of end this whole little spiel, but that's kind of the way that I came to the Lord, because when I came to the Lord, I was in total sin. I mean, obviously, I guess we all were, but, you know, I was as dead as you could be. But I did have one desire and one attraction, and that was for prophecy. For some reason, God opened my eyes and to prophecy and drew me toward him through his word of prophecy. And so it's kind of an example to me that some things, some frequencies can vibrate and be very attractive, when in fact others, you have a whole hand weighing them down and deadening that resonance. So anyway, I'm probably talking too much, but anyway, that was the, that's kind of what the Lord gave me today.
Okay. I'm not sure I followed all of that, but that's okay. I like it a little simpler terms, like God opens our ears and he opens our eyes to see the gospel. And when he opens our ears and eyes to see the gospel, we understand the gospel. And when we don't, and he doesn't open our ears and open our eyes to see, we don't understand it. That's just my little simple way of saying it. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Malcolm, you've been had your hand up a long time, but go ahead, brother.
The patience of the saints. No, it's very intriguing, Pat. This topic. Another, just physical things here, not any spiritual thoughts. But it's you can take a tuning fork. Probably a lot of us have tried this. You take a tuning fork and bang it on your head to get it going. That's a safe way to do it, so it doesn't get too. The tuning fork doesn't get hurt. Might hurt your head though. It's okay. It's not bad.
What'd you say, Malcolm?
You bonk the tuning fork on your head, and on the vibrating part, and then you stick.
How many times have you done that?
I do it all the every time I.
Now that explains it. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. So anyway, I mean, you can bang it on your knee, but then you might get a knee-jerk reaction or your elbow. But I don't know. My head's, as long as you don't bang it too hard, it's not bad. So anyway, then you flip it around and then you put the center part, you put that against your head, and then you can hear that note really nicely. It's kind of a private thing because other people can't hear it, but you can because it rattles through your cranium. So it's pretty cool. Or you can, you can hook it up to any piece of wood or whatever. The other thing I was going to say is if you ever buy a piano sometime, you don't have to know how to play it. You just hold down the sustain pedal and just start talking. And or you can even yell or do whatever you want to do, and just hold the sustain pedal down, and the piano starts echoing. Not really echoing; it's just resonating, like Pat's talking about. Because there are all those strings in there, and there are a few strings that'll vibrate at whatever frequencies you're generating by talking. So it's pretty cool. It's almost like you're almost in an echo chamber or something. It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome sound. Just try it sometime.
Do re mi fa sol la ti.
Yeah, if you do that, it'll just ring all those tones on the piano. It's pretty cool.
Okay, Malcolm.
But Michael, this is the whole relationship, the whole relationship of wavelength and frequency.
Yeah.
There's a regular formula that involves 4, 6, 8 divided by, I forget, whatever. But you can take the frequency in megahertz or whatever, and then you use this formula and you can get the wavelength. So like Pat was talking about Tuesday, I think it was, they start at very low frequencies, like 60 hertz that comes out of our wall here in the States. And 50 hertz if you're over yonder somewhere. So that's the frequency that your wall is vibrating at. It's a wall power. But that frequency is so low, but then you keep going up and up and you get into, higher and higher into the audio frequency, and then you end up getting up into the, radio waves and end up, like Pat was saying, up into the light area and keep going. I mean, it's just the whole gamut of stuff there. It's just interesting. And the wavelength gets shorter and shorter as the higher you go on the frequency. It's an inverse relationship.
Yeah, anyway, that's so much, good. I see everybody sitting on the edge of their seat.
I'm sure they are. Yeah, the principle is very simple. It's just the higher one thing goes, the lower the other one goes.
Yeah, so, I know.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
And with radio, of course, it's exciting because you can talk in one place and it comes out the other place.
Amen.
Vibrates those wires up there in yonder, yonder sky. Okay.
I was going to send you some Morse code. Spelled out.
You know what CW stands for?
Yeah.
Cool waves.
Don't either. All right, go ahead, David.
I have a slight confession to make. Yesterday at work, it was after lunch, I was working on the truck. Well, this truck I had worked on before and it came back with a problem. And I took it apart and diagnosed the problem. And the boss made the call that it was my fault that the truck came back. And he said, you need to clock out and do it off time, so you don't get paid for fixing this truck. And I mean, it wasn't really my problem. It was the guy who worked on me before, he put the wrong clamps down. And I didn't catch on to it, and it came back with that problem. And when he told me that I needed to clock out, I got really upset and furious. And I didn't really talk to anyone at work after that. And I mean, I even brought that anger home. And it wasn't until we got to bed that I was sitting, I was like, why do I have to get punished for something that someone else did? And my wife looked at me and she was like, well, what do you think Jesus did? And I sat there, I was like, I'm complaining that I lost all those hours I'm not getting paid for, but yet I still have a job. And you know, on the way to work today, I was praying. I was saying, God, it was very wrong of me to even think of it. And I pray that if something like this ever does happen again, that God gives me peace in my heart to forgive it right away and bless them. And God helps me fix the jobs. And even when I was clocked out, God, like, even through anger, I was pretty angry, and God still blessed me to fix that job in 2.5 hours. And that's like a 5-hour job. And
amen.
But you know, David,
God put wives there in front of us so they could help us out in those times of need.
Yeah.
And they kind of set our feet back on the ground, don't they? That's great. Father, we just thank you for David's heart. He wants to do what you want him to do. And Lord, we know that these flesh killers are going to come up at us at all times. You always want us to get rid of the flesh. And that's the reason he come around. And we have to understand, Lord, that it's you that's doing it and not the enemy. And Father, we thank you for that. We praise you, Father, that you are maturing and making an overcomer out of David and Elena, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for a great man of God you're making here. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Right. That's a good testimony, actually. Go ahead, Greg.
I'll just add to the prayer. Lord, you know, and this is not just applicable to David and Elena, but all of us. And first of all, I want to thank you for Elena's words, because they're not that they were wise, spot on at the time, and not just applicable to David. I just recognizing the opportunity to recognize our Lord's place in suffering. But also, well, this is what I want to drive at, is that it's not any job, it's not anything in this world, it's you who are the provider of our needs. So I just reiterate that again over all of us, and particularly David and Elena. And I also praise you for the skill and the knowledge that you've given him, and call favor upon that household once more. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. What a holiday. All right. Anyone else? Go ahead, Malcolm. You got a tuning fork in your hand?
What was that again?
Nothing. Go ahead.
The stuff that Pat's talking about is really intriguing to me, and I've long thought it would be very, very helpful for people that already understand electronics and kind of live in that world to talk about the circuits in terms of the gospel. For instance, this is pretty easy to explain in amateur radio, any radio. It's just a principle. You have a resonant circuit on one side, just of a coil, an inductor, a coil, and a capacitor. And those, you put those in resonance. Well, they're resonant at some frequency. Then you couple them. You kind of get them just like you would with a tuning fork or guitar string in proximity there, some kind of proximity. And you have another tuned circuit that's tuned to that same frequency. That other circuit that's totally isolated, it has a little bit of connection there, inductively or capacitively, something. But it'll start resonating at that frequency too. So this is a principle that it's not just acoustic, it's radio, it's the whole, I think, whole spectrum. I don't know what happens up at light. Somebody has to tell me what goes on up there at those high, super high frequencies. But I just think there's a lot to what Pat's talking about. And it might, you know, it's probably lost on somebody who doesn't understand the principles of electronics or whatever. But, man, I've long thought it would be neat to get together and just have some just discussions about how this, such deep correlations in the laws of physics and electronics and all those things with the gospel. Anyway, I just think there's just a wealth there.
Well, the only problem with that is very few people are interested in that type of parallel.
Well, when I was taking electronic class, it was in a Christian college, and a lot of those people were Christians. So I remember some discussion. I think one of our instructors did this on a weekend, and it was it was just like I got goosebumps thinking about all this stuff. It's true, it's a limited audience, but even like an engineering type person would be able to, you know, get some of that. And there's some principles in physics, the laws of physics.
I know, it's all fascinating. But if you got a bunch of homeless people out there wanting to hear the gospel, that's going to be hard to kind of explain to them, you know, when you go into frequency and that kind of
thing. You resonate with their frequency.
What they want to know is what they want. Yeah, there you go. Bring them food and the gospel. That's what they want to know.
Bring them something that'll help them vibrate.
Amen. Oh, man, you got out of that one easy. Go ahead, Pat. Please, let's don't go into this frequency stuff anymore, because
we can take it offline.
It's a waste right now. if you don't mind me saying it.
73, back to net.
Okay. Go ahead, Pat.
So surrender is what Andy, you like to call him, was talking about there, surrender. And so surrender, I believe, it, and I won't say the word, but it's connected to what we're talking about. Surrender is removing the resistance so that we are able to receive God's blessing, God's grace in our life, amen. Right?
You know, I can see you struggling trying to get around me without saying
I'm working the angles here. It's one of those things like God put it in my heart. It's got to, you know, I'm going to have to work that bad boy out. That's all there is to it.
Go for it.
That's all right. I don't want to beat a dead horse, you know. And quite frankly, and it may be, it really may be something that God's trying to do in here, you know. I have to say that it was very beneficial and freeing being able to release that word to Barry and leave it in God's hands. Because of the characteristics, just simply the characteristics of his word. His word is living. That means something. It is living. It's moving, like moving water. It's vibrating. There's a frequency there. All right, I got my last one in.
You got that one in. Amen. Go ahead, David.
I have a testimony to share.
All right.
Actually, this morning, God opened a word for me. The same exact place that Pat was reading on. From John. And that's awesome. Because he started reading, I was like, wait a second. I just read that this morning. And we were thinking, me and my wife were thinking, and we're like, man, we really need to get away from our phones because we spend a lot of time on it. And we came up with this thing. As soon as I come home from work, phones are going, you could turn the volume on, put them on charge, and don't come back to them. And we spent like no time on our phones yesterday. And this morning, I woke up. And I'm like, man, I usually wake up in the morning, 6:45, I start the truck, get my lunch together, and 7 o'clock, I'm out the door. And today I look at the clock, I'm like, wow, it's only 6:30. I was like, I got some time to spare. So I was like, okay, fine. Well, I went to the living room, sat in my chair, picked up the Bible, started reading, and I was like, man, thank God. And I was like, the less time spent on the phone, the more more room God has to work in us, and just praise God for that.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Wake us all up early, Lord, to get in the Word. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right, anyone else? The frequency that resonates at 732 hertz is one of very complex. It's all this good. All right. Lord, I just thank you for an awesome night tonight. It's been a good night for testimonies, prayers, confessions. And Father, we just praise you for the work you're doing in each and every one of us, Lord. And like Andy was talking about there earlier, Lord, draw us near to you, Lord. fill us so full of the Holy Spirit that nothing's left but you, Lord. And I mean that. I ask, Lord, that you do that for each and every one of us. Fill us up to overflowing, Lord, as much as we can handle. And I hope I can handle a lot, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that everybody here has got their eyes set on you, Lord, and that during the times ahead, Father, we're going to be ready to minister and disciple the people that are coming into the kingdom. Some that have already been in the kingdom, but they hadn't learned anything. And Lord, I thank you for putting in us to keep learning and to keep studying and to keep asking you the questions that we need to know, Lord, and meditating on your word. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, give us a good night's sleep tonight. Let it be one when we wake up in the morning, we'll be supernaturally supercharged. In Jesus' name, and those who have the rest of the day to finish, I ask, Lord, that you bless them mightily in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for the rain that's going up there with Barry and Marilyn, over down there with Julie. In Jesus' name, that you're going to keep it up, Lord. And you're going to defy the people up there that are trying to starve people out by no rain or whatever they're doing, the weather manipulation. But no, we know that you can weather manipulate too. And we thank you, Father, that it's being done in Jesus' name. And we're looking for the good report too, Father, in the name of Jesus, because we know that we have an open heaven. And that this open heaven, you hear us, you already send the angels out to do the bidding that your people have asked, Lord. And we praise you for it. Thank you for working in us, Lord. Thank you for guiding us and leading us by your Spirit. And I praise you, Father, for all the things that are fixing to come up here before us, because I know there's going to be some mighty miracles happening. Mighty wonders of God, signs and wonders of God, it's going to happen. If people are going to marvel and say, we didn't know this was possible anymore. And they're going to come running to you, Lord, out of those apostate churches. And Lord, I thank you for bringing them down. There's a lot of people, a lot of leadership that add to and take away from the word, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. I ask, Lord, that you touch them and show them, Lord, hey, look, you better check this out. That's not in the word of God. Or you're trying to add to it. And I ask, Lord, that those that you're elect, that you go ahead and save them, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for all you're doing in the world. We thank you for bringing down the deep state. We thank you for putting Trump back in there. And Lord, let it be a good, smooth transition. We come against any of the deep state that might be trying to blow up stuff and hurt people. That's their job. They're evil. They're satanic. And we thank you, Lord, that you've already got your angels stationed in place and you've told, you've got the people aware of what's happening and that you're going to bring them down in a peaceful way. And we praise you, Father, for doing that all over the world. Thank you for saving all these children out of those tunnels, Lord. All the millions of them that they're bringing out, Lord. I don't know what they're doing with them, but I know that you're going to take care of them, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Well, all right, y'all. Okay, Malcolm, go ahead, brother. You're going to get one last word in, aren't you? Come on with it.
Wait, did you say me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. When I push the buttons, I can't hear anything.
okay.
It doesn't have to be on the recording, but I'd like to have folks remember me in prayer. I'm talking with some folks in Nepal and India, and there a lot of people are dying, and a lot of leaders of missionary stuff are dying. And I know it has to come to this at some point, but I'm the people I'm talking to, I'm really burdened to that they'll see the gospel. They're important people to me. And it's a hard sell because they're so denominational, you know. Yeah. Anyway, and to finish up on that note, I'll put on this tuning fork. You hear that?
Yeah.
That's 440 hertz.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I am enlightened.
So on that note, I'll call it quits.
Okay. All right. Bless y'all. Good night, y'all. Love you.
That's A.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Bless.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dada.
Good night to everybody.
Good night, Dada. Good night, Dada. I love you, buddy.
Good night. Love you, Dada. Good night. Good night, Auntie Janita.
Give Rihanna a hug for us, Claire.
Hi, Israel. Love you, buddy.
Good night.
Where'd she go? Oh, she took
off. Good night, Israel. God bless you.
Good night, Israel. See you, buddy.
Good night.
Good night. Here we go. We'll hit the button.
Good night.